seated. Will you bow your heads with me as I pray? Dear God, I thank you for today's amazing reminder that you are the blesser. You are the blesser. And we bless you because of the blessings you gave to us. So today we sing of your praises. We make your name known, your name famous in our hearts, in our lives, and through us, so people may see the true lights that enlightens everyone and gives knowledge and peace and hope to those who encounter that light. So God, please reveal your word to us today. Lord, we need to hear from you. We don't need to hear from a preacher, or we don't need to hear from just words from a song or lyrics or anything like that. We need your word, because it is your word that penetrates and brings us to real truth, real joy, so that life can be lived out in the way that you called us to live it. So God, would you speak to the hearts of those who are in this room, but also would you speak to those who are watching online, and even those who are potentially watching at a later date, that they would encounter Jesus. We're here to encounter the living God, Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We're not here to be entertained. We're not here to let the time go by. We're here to encounter Jesus, to be changed, to be lifted. So give us that today. We love you and we thank you. It's in your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, good morning, Christ Church. How are you guys doing this morning? Good to see you guys. My name is Jovan. I happen to be one of the pastors here at our church. I work over at our Elyria campus, our West campus. I get the chance to work with a bunch of hooligans over there, but it's fine. It's great. It's going well, and I'm just excited to be a part of that team. I'm excited to be a part of this whole church. Do you know that you are blessed? This church, I'm telling you right now, this is a blessed church. Just watching that video and watching Sarah and watching just what we are going to do to be able to go out to the community and to show them Christ. Sure, the mission and the work and the service, man, that's all important, but we're there to show them Christ. We want to make Jesus famous. We want to make him known more than anything else. And I'm just so blessed to be a part of this amazing church. Can you give it up just for just this amazing church and amazing staff and our amazing leaders? And I get a chance to continue in our series that we started a few weeks ago called The Compassionate Christ. And in this series, we are studying the book of Mark. Now, if you didn't get your Mark journals as you came in, it's your fault, because they were right there as soon as you walked in. All you had to do was look to the left and look to the right, and they were right there. But if you didn't grab it, go ahead and grab your journals as soon as you walk out. This is an amazing series. Mark is the shortest gospel. It is the second book in the New Testament, the shortest gospel. And Mark's concern and our concern needs to be what Mark is writing, which is to give us the true reality of Christ, the true reality of Jesus, so that that reality can be the reality of our hearts in our lives today. It reminds me, before I jump into the message, it reminds me of a time when about years ago, I worked at a factory job. And I worked with this guy. We were loaders and unloaders and whatnot. And it was around the time that I started coming here at this church. And so I told this guy that I was working with, and I was like, hey, man, I want to invite you to this church that I'm going to. It's on 82. Man, you got to come see it. The worship is awesome. The building is beautiful. The pastor's got cowboy boots and a ponytail. It's great. It's awesome. You should come. And I remember every time that I asked him, or every time that I invited him, he just kept saying no. He just kept saying no over and over and over. And then finally one day, I just said, hey, man, will you come? And then, of course, he said no. But then I just followed up. I said, well, why not? And he said this, and I'm sure a lot of us have heard this before. He said, well, if I walk into your church, the whole building will catch on fire. Now, that's funny, right? And maybe you've heard that before. Hey, if I walk into the building, you know, God will strike me down with lightning. And I told him, hey, listen, I'm in the building. And if it hasn't caught on fire yet, brother, you good. But it's funny that he would say that. But it's sad that he would actually believe that, right? It's funny, we can laugh about it, but deep down in his heart, he believed it. Deep down in his heart, he felt that God wasn't for him. Deep down in his heart, he felt like he wasn't enough. And it's sad that he would believe that. And I believe that sometime in his past and his encounters, someone told him about God, something about God that isn't true. Someone told him something about God and something about the church and what it stands for and what it's aimed towards, something that wasn't true. And for some reason, that thing that he heard began to rob all that God wanted to do and do his life. It robbed him from the experience that God wants to have with him. And I believe that's kind of what this series is about. It is to bring clarity of who God, Jesus, really is. Because if you go out into the world, there's a lot of people on TikTok that tell you a lot of things about God. There's a lot of people on social media that tell you a lot of things about Jesus. You sit back and be like, bro, that's just not true. But then you look at it, you see thousands and thousands of views, and for some reason people are believing in a false Jesus. This series in the Gospels, in the Bible, helps you and I to truly understand the true Jesus. Because here's the thing, friends, we want to have more clarity of who he is so that we can see that he is better. That's the whole goal. Every time you engage with the scriptures, every time you open up, you're not open up like, all right, how can I have a better day today? How can I do this? How can I love more? No, how can I know Jesus? How can I know Jesus? And that's what we want to do. And we achieve that fullness. And when we achieve that fullness, not only that we will see that he is better, but we will want him even more. We will want him even more. The beauty of who Jesus is. I just love Christ and all that he is and all that he offers and all that he has done to open up our hearts and open up our eyes to the true Jesus. Because I believe when you run into the true Jesus, you run into true life. I believe when you run into the real Jesus, God of heaven, wrapped in flesh, died a sinner's death, raised on the cross, but then there was a tomb, and now he is ascended with the Father. See, that Jesus, see, that's the Jesus that gives us real life. So we're going to continue in this series. We're going to open up to Mark chapter 2. Now, if you don't have your Bible, you got this study journal with you. But if you do have your Bible like the rest of other Christians should, let's open up to Mark chapter 2. Just saying, the Bible says those who bring their Bibles sit closer to Jesus. I'm just saying that. Second Opinions chapter 10. We're going to open up into the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 2, verse 13. And this encounter that we're going to read, this is one of my favorite encounters in all of the Gospels, because I see a lot of myself in it. I'm not reading myself into the Bible. I just see that the guy that Jesus encounters, man, he's a lot like me. He's a lot like me. And maybe if we look a little bit closer, you will realize and maybe see, maybe he's a lot like you as well, as Jesus encounters. The earthly ministry of Jesus started around when he was 30 years old, and he's walking and he's doing all the mission that he was sent for. He was sent to bring the kingdom. He was sent to inaugurate a new covenant. All these amazing things Jesus is bringing and he's doing. All of this is leading, of course, to crucifixion. All of this is leading, of course, to his true meaning, which was to die. But we are going to zero in and focus on this particular passage, an encounter Jesus has with this man. It's a familiar one to some of you, but let's look at it with fresh eyes, shall we? Here we go. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. He went out again beside the sea. Slow down and read, and you'll see that the word again. Mark is telling us, hey, Jesus is by this sea, and he's there again. Previously, when he was there and he met these guys by the name of Peter, James, Andrew, and John, his first disciples, the first four. He was there and he was recruiting them to bring them on the mission. And now Jesus is returning to that same spot. If you love the water, you love Jesus. I'm just telling you that. Jesus was by the sea again, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he, watch this, was teaching them. So Mark has set the scene for us. Mark has given us the location. Mark has said, hey, Jesus is at this sea. And at this sea, there happens to be a crowd. Mark loves telling us that Jesus drew a crowd. And I don't think he's telling us just to show us how popular Jesus was. He was just telling us and showing us that the crowd was attracted to him. But why were they attracted to Jesus? It's very clear. If you read earlier, they were attracted to Jesus because of his miracles. Now, go with me on this, because I think Mark is trying to do something here. Mark says, hey, listen, there was crowds that were growing more and more and more. And last week we looked at one instance when Jesus here is like paralytic, and the crowd was so big in this home that there were a couple homeboys that had to tear the roof and let somebody down so they can get a healing. I mean, this is the crowd. Why is Mark telling us about this crowd? What is Mark hinting towards? See, I believe Mark wants us to know that there were some people that were following Jesus for the wrong reasons. There were some people that were following him, not by who he was, but what he can do for them. They saw all the miracles. Jesus healing a man who was paralyzed. Jesus heals this guy who has leprosy. Jesus heals somebody's mother-in-law, which I don't know why he would do that. But anyway, Jesus does all those things, and he's bringing all those healings, and he's doing it. I'm just joking, okay? Jeez, got a problem. Email Jake and Sarah. They got you. But he's doing all those things. And so the crowd, they're enticed and they're excited and they're like, we want more of that, but they didn't want more of him. We want more of what you can do. Jesus, do another miracle for us. Jesus, do something spectacular. And notice that Mark says that he was teaching them. Because here's the truth. Sometimes in my relationship with God, and this is not the sermon, I'm going to get into that in just a little bit. But sometimes my relationship with God can be bent off what he does for me than who he is to me. And I believe sometimes we have to watch that. We have to watch that. And Mark wants us to say, hey, listen, this crowd, Jesus was more about teaching them, about giving him his word. And sometimes I need to ask God to do a work in me before I ask him to do a work for me. Sometimes I need God's word, truth, promise, wisdom, counsel to be deep within so that I can be different without. Who are you in the crowd? That's the question. Doc taught me something like that. When I first started getting interested into ministry, Doc would always say, who are you in this passage? See where you fit in. And I ask you, who are you in the crowd? Are you just there to see what Jesus can do? Or are you there because of who Jesus truly is? So let's continue on. This is not the point of the message. I just thought I'd just stop there for you. And it goes on to verse 14. He says, and as he was passing by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, famous words, love these two words, follow me. Follow me. And he rose and he followed him. And as he reclined, he rose and he followed him. And in verse 15, it says, as he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners. I think that's kind of funny. There's like two categories. Like there's the sinners, but then there's the tax collectors. You know, like you ever just stop and just laugh at the Bible? Like, wait a minute, aren't they kind of the same thing? But we do the same thing too. We have categories for people too. Oh, I'm not perfect, but man, they're really bad. I mean, I may let my anger out here and there, you know what I'm saying? I make it a little bit prideful, but I don't do what she does. See, we all kind of do that. And I think Mark is trying to draw us into kind of the context of the culture of this time. And it says, as he reclined, Jesus reclined at the table, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. I'm going to come back to that in just a little bit. For there were many who followed him. Verse 16, and the scribes, the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners, tax collectors, they said to his disciples, why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners? Heck, they got categories too. Verse 17, and when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need for a physician. I love that. But those who are sick, I have come not to call the righteous, but to sinners. See, friends, this whole totality of this text, it's all about Jesus encountering this man, this person who had a certain category that was separate from the sinners. This whole entire text is all about Jesus calling this man to follow him, to come with him, to walk with him. And it's a very interesting text. And I almost feel like that's kind of something we need to draw near to, that God is calling us to follow him. Why would he do that? Why is he doing this? What is Jesus trying to say? What is Jesus offering? See, Christ is calling us to a life where we experience his fullness. Where we experience his fullness so that we can live in the way that we were created to live, with him and for him. Let me tell you right now, those who are breathing, watching online, you got air going through your lungs. That air was created from God, and it was created for God. That life that you have, the life that we have, it was created for him, to be with him. And I love that Jesus is restoring this man back to where he was always called to be, which was with God. I love this passage. When I first started reading this as a young man, I was just drawn away, and I just remember just crying and crying because I felt that Jesus was telling me, hey, listen, the life that you are longing for, guess what? It's in me. And I believe that's why Jesus went to this guy Levi. I believe that's why Jesus walked to this guy Levi, who was minding his own business. He was sitting at the tax booth. He didn't say a prayer, the Bible says. He didn't go to church every week. He didn't do any of those things, but rather Jesus came to him to offer to him something that I believe Jesus saw that he was lacking. I love that Jesus knows the need of everyone. I love that. And he's not just somebody who knows the needs because of what he sees, because he knows every man's heart. He walks up to this guy and he says, follow me, because I see that within you, you're missing something. I see that you think you have life, but really, you're starving. You think you're living, but actually, you're thirsty. And I love that Jesus invites him, and he offers him something that he's actually longing for, because truth of the matter is, friends, each and every one of us in this room and those who are watching online, each and every one of us, we long for a good life, don't we? We long to be fulfilled. We just want to be happy. We just want to be satisfied. And we try to find it in so many places, in so many things, and in so many people. And we say to ourselves, if I just reach this status in my career, then life will be great. If I just get married at this time, then I'll be great. If I just can have my family look a certain way and we can take pictures on Facebook and post it and show everybody that we are good, even though we're not good, then life will be great. And we all are in the pursuit of the good life. And I think that's what Levi is. Now, if you haven't connected the two, Levi is Matthew, the first gospel, the first book in the New Testament. Levi is Matthew. So this is the account of how he came to Christ. And it's interesting, it tells us his profession. It says he was sitting at the tax booth. Now, you got to understand the context of this so we can really understand the beauty and the power that is going on within this. You got to remember, tax collectors, the Jews didn't like them. Let me just say this, they hated them. Strong word, but it's very true. They despised them. They were seen as the other guys. They worked for the Roman government, and the Roman government happened to be oppressing Israel, the Jews, at this time. And one way that they would oppress them is through taxes. See, I want you to view tax collectors like a modern-day IRS agent. I hate the IRS, though. Let me just say that. You ever just get a letter, you like, you just, oh my gosh. You just get so nervous. No, that's never happened to you? Okay. And so they're this, the modern day IRS, but let's attach something else to this. They're the modern day IRS, but also they're the modern day mafia. Because they had Rome on their side. And since Rome was on their side, and the taxes that they would oppress the Jews with, what would happen is they can tax whatever they wanted. And if the Jews didn't pay, guess what? The Romans would come and force them to do it. And the tax collectors would get some of that. Oh, and did I remind you that these tax collectors were Jews? They're Jewish. So the Jews hate the Romans. And since they hate the Romans, they doubly hate the tax collectors. And one has to ask himself, how did he get here? You ever just come in a moment in your life, you ask yourself, how did I get here? Because let me tell you something, no Jewish boy just wakes up and says, I think I'm going to go rob people today. I think I'm going to go pursue a life where I'm going to defraud people. Nobody wakes up and does that. Nobody does that. How did he get there? See, I believe he got here because he was chasing the good life. Chasing the good life. And his choices land him in a place where he thought he was good. But Jesus says, no, you're not. See, he got to a place where he thought, maybe, you know what, sure, you know, I may be a socially outcasted, I may be politically outcasted, I may even be religiously outcasted. Sure, my family doesn't talk to me because of my association with the Romans. Sure, this may go on, but I'm doing pretty good because I got this thing called money. I got this thing called money, and I got this thing called wealth, and I got this thing called possessions, and I'm good, and I'm secure. And Jesus says, no, you're not. Let me give you what you've been longing for the most. Let me give you something that deep down inside you are trying to fulfill. You're just trying to find it in the wrong places. Let me offer you a life where joy is the reality of your soul. Where contentment is the reality of your heart. Let me offer you something. Follow me. Follow me. I love, despite Levi's choices, Christ still chooses him. I'm excited about that because I made a lot of dumb choices, y'all. I made a lot of dumb choices. I see a couple people in the house today that I went to high school with, Strongville, Green and White, Let's Fight. I went to high school with them, and they're probably looking at me like, he's preaching today? Yes. Woo, I knew this kid when we was, yeah, geez. And I'm glad that despite the choices, Christ still chooses us. Because here's the truth, friends. Our choices doesn't draw God away. It may draw people away, but it actually draws Christ closer. It actually draws Christ closer. He actually says, listen, I see what you're trying to do, and it's not working. Matthew, I see what you're trying. It's not working. Come in, follow me. Jesus calls him, and what is Jesus calling him into? What he's calling him into so that Levi may experience what his presence is and what his presence means. He's calling him to his presence. He says, listen, I want you to have real treasure so you can have real assurance. You may behold God's holiness, God's glory, God's beauty, splendor, and majesty. And there you will experience all the things that you are dying and longing for and looking for in this life is found actually in the work and in the majesty of Jesus. He says, I am calling you to my presence. Come to me. Did you notice that the Bible is all about invitation? Come, all who are weary and laden and heavy and burdened. It's always, there's an invitation and then there's an offer. And I will give you rest. If you come, this is what I will give you. If you draw near, I will give this to you. There's always an invitation with God and his people. Now, how do we wrap up this whole entire section? Because it's awesome and it's beautiful, and we see that Levi gets up. I wonder what was it that made him get up? What was it that made him get up? I mean, he was comfortable. He was comfortable, and he was sort of somewhat in control of his life. What made him get up? I'm just baffled by this, because Levi getting up, he knew the risk of leaving everything would cost him everything. He knew that, hey, listen, I'm leaving this life, and I can't return. Because it wasn't like you could just go back to being a tax collector. No. You would have to start the whole process over and over again. And he knew that if he left it, he couldn't go back to it. And here's the truth. See, it was costly, but he recognized the true reward was greater than the cost. And what was that reward? Christ. There was something so beautiful about Jesus. Jesus didn't do a miracle, y'all. Did you see a miracle in this story? Did you see him heal his mother-in-law? Did you see him heal him from leprosy? Did you see any of that? No. He saw the beauty of Christ. And he recognized that the reward is greater than the cost. And what was once a gain to him then, he now considered a loss. Why? For the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. He says, listen, I'm leaving this behind, but I'm getting something better. Because that's what Christ wants to offer to us as we come and draw near to him. Something better. And I love that Jesus comes to this tax collector. Doesn't it show us, number one, that no one is beyond the redemption of God? Doesn't it show us that the crooked and the broken and the despised and the weary and the lonely, all of those, Jesus is actually attracted to you. Jesus actually draws to you. Jesus actually pursues you. Jesus actually comes for you. If you are that person, you are a perfect candidate for Jesus. If you are that person, you are a perfect candidate for Jesus. If you're that person that says to yourself, man, I'm just so broken. I'm just so messed up. If they knew the real me, if they knew the true me, sure, they see me on Instagram, but they don't see me when I'm like at home. If they see the real me, then they would draw from me. But guess what? Christ draws to you. And he draws to you because he wants to give you a new you. See, Jesus doesn't come to coddle. Jesus comes to change. He comes and he says, listen, offer and come and receive what I want to give you in your life. And I noticed this, and I just wanted to say this as we wrap up. Christ is calling someone today. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And there is freedom that Christ wants to offer to someone today. Maybe you were close with God for a while, but now because of circumstances, because of situations, because of you tried to pursue a life on your own, you realize you're like Matthew and you're at the tax booth. And you're lonely. You're lonely. You feel yourself, man, this is just how life is. Christ says it doesn't have to be like that. Christ is calling someone to get up from the tax booth. Get up from that tax booth. But also, we have to look at this on the other side. Christ is also calling us to continue to follow him, because there's a cost to following Jesus. And what's the cost? Leaving things behind. What are the things as followers of Jesus we need to continuously run from so we can run towards him? Because with the calling, there's a positive and a negative. The positive is him. The negative is you got to die to yourself. The negative is it's not about you anymore. That sucks. The negative is it's not about what you want and what you desire and all those things. No, there's a life that we have to continuously run from so that we can run towards him, because there's this thing called temptation, and it whispers more and more in my ear every single day, and it says, you really don't need Jesus. You're good on your own. You know, you really shouldn't forgive them. You should actually hate them. You shouldn't have to act in humility. No, you deserve this. And Christ says, I'm calling you away from that, so that true riches and true glory is yours today. Some of us need to realize Christ is calling us to follow him more and more. But I love this next thing. Put up verse 15 for them. I love this next thing, verse 15. It says that Jesus was reclining with them at Levi's home. I wonder what was the conversation like from the time he left the tax booth to the time they got home. I don't know how long it was. It could have been 2 hours. It could have been 20 minutes. I don't know. But there was something about Jesus that made him want to throw a party. There was something about Jesus that made him want to throw a party. And there was something about him that made him want to invite his friends in it. How awesome is that? He celebrates Jesus. I don't know what that conversation was like, but there was something good and grand and beautiful. And therefore, he made space for others so they can know Jesus. He created a space for others so they can come to true life, and they can realize hope is still alive and it can be theirs for them in their life. And the question I want to ask you, how are you using your space today? Are you using your space to make Jesus known or your opinions known? I'm going to let that simmer. Because I know a lot of us, we love to give our opinions. And little do we know, sometimes the things that we actually think that are good are actually drawing people further from Christ. I love Matthew. I'm just going to call him Matthew. I love Matthew's response. He says, hey, you got to come see this guy named Jesus. He's so wonderful. He's so awesome. He's so amazing. There's something beautiful about him. You got to come. The money that I once used for myself, I'm now going to use so I can create the space so that people can see Jesus in and through my life. And that's why calling that he is calling me to. But the question is, friends, how are we using our space in our lives today? Are we the ones who are the light? Or are you the one who brings more darkness? Because there's enough darkness in this world. You know that, right? There's a lot of darkness in this world. But see, here's the thing, friends. Christ calls us to be the true light, because the light gives light to darkness. How are we using our space today? Who are you in this story? It's the next question I want to ask. Who are you? Are you his disciples that are at the dinner table? It's funny, because you missed it. See, you got to remember, Jesus' original disciples were fishermen. And these fishermen, what they would do after getting their fish, they would walk up, and guess what they would have to run into? A tax booth. So that means every time that they had their catch, which would help feed their family and pay their bills, they would run into Levi. But here they are, sitting at the table with him. That's the kingdom of God, friends. The kingdom of God is full of forgiveness, reconciliation, and unity, and grace, and compassion, and mercy. It's not my purpose, but it's God's purpose. My purpose now is his purpose in my life. There is beauty happening in this passage. Are you the disciples? Are you Levi? Are you Levi? And you're searching and searching, and you realize that it's a dead end every time. Are you Levi? Or are you the Pharisees? Where you have categories for people. Because let me tell you something right now. The one thing that will draw Jesus away is our own righteousness. The one thing that'll draw Jesus away is religion. It's religion. When we say to ourselves, yeah, but those people, yeah, they're not so great. Those people, they're, yeah, you know, it's, I'm not like them, though. Are you the Pharisee? Which one are you? Are you Matthew, the one creating space so that people may see Jesus more and more in your life? That's the question we have to ask. Which one are you? Where do you fit? Who are you? And friends, I believe once we define that, then we can follow him even better. Let me say a prayer. Dear God, I am thankful for this message that was both convicting but also encouraging. I'm thankful for this message because it's a message that brings to truth and the reality of what it means to actually follow you, what it means to actually draw near to you. But also, I'm thankful that it clarifies what you offer when we follow you. And what is the thing that you offer? What is the thing that you give? And it's this thing, and it's this truth, and it's the reality of life and rest, which all of us, most of us, are pursuing more and more in our lives. And Lord, I pray that someone today would come to the knowledge and come to the truth that that life and that rest and that contentment and that joy and that satisfaction and that assurance that they are looking for, that they long for, that they want more and more is found in you. And I pray that they would leave the tax booth. I pray that they would get up and say, I'm following Jesus. And I'm willing to leave everything behind so that Christ can be my gain. And I pray for us as well that we would be like Matthew and we would create the space so that Jesus can be known more and more. Help us to create the space in our lives, not that we are telling everybody what we want and our opinions and our needs, but rather we would make Jesus famous. Help us to do that more as we follow you and as we draw near to you. It's in your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen.